Okay, so now for my presentation, which is entitled Artificial Intelligence, Where We Are, Where Science Fiction Projects We Might Go, and What Our Hopes and Fears for AI Say About Human Nature. These days, we hear a lot of hype surrounding consumer interactive AI projects, such as ChatGPT, Bard, Copilot, Llama, DALL-E, Character AI, and others. For any of you who might have missed the hype, these new services available to the public over the internet are able to answer questions conversationally, or to write essays or stories in a requested style, or to impersonate famous people in conversation, or to draw almost any image requested. The wide availability and the high quality of some of the work produced by these AI systems has fired the public imagination about what capabilities AI will be able to accomplish in the future, and has surfaced many fears of lost jobs, self-aware AI enslaving or exterminating the human race, and similar possible disastrous consequences of the lightning advances in this field. I think our fears may be summarized by saying we are afraid of AI development outstripping our ability to control and limit its uses to beneficial ones. While I am no expert on AI, I am a lover of science fiction and have a son who is an expert working on the cutting edge of this field for Google. My reading on this subject, together with my discussions with my son David regarding his field and regarding our mutual love of science fiction's depictions of AI, has brought me to the realization that I might have some things worth saying to you all about this subject. In addition, my work for this service gave me an opportunity to consult with my son, who has greatly increased the clarity and accuracy of my presentation. While the above described consumer interactive AI projects are relatively new, one key ingredient of the current crop, which is not new, is machine learning. Machine learning systems were first developed in the 1960s as an attempt to create computers that could learn and reason. At first, the research was not focused on simulating human intelligence, and instead focused more on logic and symbolic reasoning, trying to identify a series of rules that would lead to intelligence. Over the years of effort, it gradually became clear that intelligence, at least as we know it, is not based on logic or easily expressed as a set of rules. For a long time, the study of artificial intelligence seemed stuck at this impasse, and then advances in the field began to come from an unexpected source, imitating nature. AI researchers began simulating how nerve cells work together with the brain. These simulated brains are called neural networks, and that kind of AI research is called deep learning. These simulated brains are, trained by being shown examples. They learn because we gradually strengthen the connections that lead to correct answers. This process is lengthy and difficult. It often requires millions or even billions of examples, but when done correctly, it can produce powerful results. In other words, in deep learning, software analyzes its data set of examples and gradually adapts to improve the quality of its performance. To be really effective, we have to use very large data sets, so researchers try to take shortcuts to create large quantities of examples automatically. This approach, where machines learn with as little human intervention as possible, is often called unsupervised learning. By now, the concepts of AI and machine learning and deep learning have really merged and become synonymous, and for years have powered advancements ranging from autonomous military missiles to financial crimes monitoring, cyber security, facial recognition, human resources, and many other types of uses. One thing that makes AI systems using deep learning a bit scary is that they provide output in ways that can be difficult to predict or backtrack as to how the results were obtained. For example, in 2016, Microsoft introduced a chatbot named Tay, using a large language model machine learning system similar to the product that's in the news a lot today, ChatGPT. Microsoft launched Hey by allowing it to post and receive replies on Twitter. They then had to shut Hey down after just one day because internet pranksters were able to trick it into writing a number of lewd and racist tweets. Large language model systems such as Hey and ChatGPT are loaded with enormous quantities of data, which in the machine learning systems use to predict what words to string together to be the most likely acceptable responses to a human interaction. These systems have no inherent discretion or judgment. Instead, they rely on their human designers to tailor what they should learn to imitate. In hindsight, the prevalence of lewd and racist material on the internet created the probability that such material would be found appropriate by Tay. However, because of the huge quantity of data needed to train Tay, Microsoft had to rely on unsupervised learning, and as a result, failed at predicting or controlling what Tay would do. Since that disaster, other developers, recognizing the difficulty of controlling large language model systems, have been more cautious. More recent efforts have continued to use unsupervised learning, but have sought to prevent inappropriate responses in a variety of ways. These include inventing better ways to pick the text used to train these models, coming up with better ways to use feedback from human experts, and even making the systems able to understand plain language rules, which the system are directed to follow. My son David commented regarding this issue was that Isaac Asimov's Three Laws of Robotics has proven to be a prescient precursor of the rules now having to be carefully devised by this new wave of large language model machine learning systems. Isaac Asimov was a best-selling, award-winning science fiction and science writer for 40 years from the 1940s through the 1980s. He invented the term robotics and the Three Laws of Robotics in 1942. In a short story. The laws featured prominently in many of his subsequent works. The three rules are, one, a robot may not injure a human being or through inaction allow a human being to come to harm. Two, a robot must obey the orders given to it by human beings except when such orders would conflict with the first law. And three, a robot must protect its own existence as long as such protection does not conflict with the first or second law. In striking moment of life imitating art, modern language, large language model-based systems are given plain language rules to follow, very much like the three laws of robotics. And just as with Asimov's robot stories, the preciseness of these rules becomes of critical importance to preventing these AI systems from causing harm. Furthermore, as Asimov predicted, getting the rules exactly right is much harder than it seems. While Asimov is a giant in the field of AI depictions in science fiction, the number of science fiction authors that have incorporated AI into their stories is too numerous to mention, and the best of these stories are not only prescient, but also reflective of the very same hopes and fears that people now are experiencing from this new wave of real interactive AI systems. By exploring some of these stories, I will try to bring forth some insights about the future of AI development and what our hopes and fears for these changes say about human nature. Another giant of science fiction who created an early and now famous AI is Arthur C. Clarke, who created HAL 9000 computer system, seen in the famous movie 2001. In 1968. The computer's vaunted reputation for flawless AI operation unexpectedly proves undeserved when it attempts to kill the astronauts that it is shepherding to Jupiter. The movie was an early warning that it is unwise to place complete reliance on one AI system, and it helped to spawn a long series of even more scary stories about AI systems seeking to exterminate or enslave the human race, such as those found in the Terminator movies, or more recently, in the latest Mission Impossible movie, Dead Reckoning Part 1. However, it is less well known that Arthur C. Clarke was too great a lover of technology to have implanted an evil motivation into his HAL 9000 AI. He explains in the sequel 2010 that HAL 9000 was constructed for the accurate processing of information without distortion or concealment. However, prior to being launched with its astronauts' crew toward Jupiter, it was instructed to keep a key part of the mission secret from its crew for reasons of national security. This human-generated contradiction in its programming caused it to malfunction. Designed never to be dishonest or keep secrets, unlike its human creators, but being forced to do so, it became paranoid and ultimately dangerous. Once this issue is understood and corrected, the HAL 9000 becomes a key participant in saving the crew of a subsequent mission to Jupiter. There is a lesson here about the danger of over-militarization and secrecy in AI development, which is reinforced by another early fictional AI system, the Whopper, W-O-P-R, in the movie War Games, made in 1983. In that film, due to the speed with which the U.S. would need to respond to a nuclear attack and the number of people in the military who would have a very understandable hesitation when the moment came to launch nuclear weapons, the Pentagon decides to give its AI, the War Operations Plan Response Computer, Whopper, direct control of the U.S.'s nuclear arsenal. The Whopper almost starts a nuclear war because it thinks that such a war can be won. Only when it is forced to play out all possible scenarios for such a war is it able to learn it is playing a game it cannot win and halt the attack. So, if the HAL 9000 and the Whopper were able to learn and improve for the benefit of mankind, why do so many science fiction stories and current players in AI development fear that AI might become sentient and conclude that humans are inferior, a potential threat, and seek to exterminate or enslave all humans? Although the current crop of consumer large language model systems are designed to interact with humans in a way that mimics language expected for real people, these systems are far from sentient. Truly, they do not understand what they are saying. Instead, they merely emit what words they predict will sound the best to the humans interacting with them based upon whatever prompts they are given. Still, this mimicking causes us to think of these AIs as if they were people and to expect them to act as we would. Therein lies the sad origin of our fears. Humans have too often enslaved or exterminated other humans that they viewed as inferior. Horrifying as it is to contemplate, we view such behavior as logical for a superior intelligence. AI, like most sophisticated computer systems, can be used to cause harm by humans intent on causing harm, or can inadvertently cause harm due to the unpredictable nature of complicated systems. At this point, it is important to point out that there are plenty of science fiction writers who have seen the potential for good in AI systems. They imagine that AIs lacking some of our worst instincts become superior partners for the advancement of the human race and our way of living. These stories depict a wide range of positive AIs. For example, there is the friendly android Data in Star Trek that so admires the humans it works with that it attempts to mimic human behavior and emotions. Another example is the AIs known as Minds in the Culture novels by the late Ian M. Banks. Banks envisioned a society of the distant future in which technological advances made possible by the superior skills of advanced sentient AI minds have evolved into a culture in which our descendants are spread throughout the galaxy on habitats, each of which is managed by a mind. Although far superior to humans in their abilities, the minds respect and nurture the biological members of their culture, providing for virtually all of their needs or wants through automated systems of varying degrees of intelligence, which are in turn respected by the biological members of the culture as independent personalities. Does it sound boring? It's not, but I don't want to spoil the fun in case any of you are curious enough to check out these stories. Suffice it to say that the vast superiority of the culture often causes the reader to recognize just how faulty our own ways of looking at things are. There is another strain of science fiction authors that, recognizing the exponential growth of biological and non-biological technology, envisions a future singularity in which these technologies merge and change humanity beyond recognition. An example of this strain is the author Werner Wien. To give you an idea of this approach, you can try his novel Rainbow's End, in which the principal character is recovering from Alzheimer's disease and is acclimating to a world in which AI software and hardware have become commonplace human implants. The world has both exciting and worrying aspects, just as ours does today. None of the above should suggest that AI development is without risk, but the risks have as much to do with human frailties as they do to the power of technology itself. Human greed leads developers to race each other, leaving out necessary safeguards. More subtly, Noah Harari, whose book Sapiens was the topic of a prior service, has pointed out in his writing that the key importance that language plays in maintaining human culture and the consequent susceptibility of humans to persuasive language. Persuasive language is a superpower of the new large language machine systems. Unfortunately, while these systems are good at sounding authoritative, they still have no judgment or values of their own. AI researchers have solved the problems of generating language and even of sounding very convincingly authoritative, but we have not yet truly solved the problem of creating artificial intelligence. Many people might prefer the easy answers coming from these systems to the work of determining their veracity. Such reliance is dangerous. In addition, these systems can be intentionally used to manipulate people. Bad actors might use AI to pretend to be multitudes of people, each making different arguments to attempt to sway people into believing propaganda. There is nothing new about this danger of high-tech propaganda, which was described in terrifying detail by George Orwell in 1984, written in 1948. But it's sobering to consider that the tools available to modern-day thought police far surpass anything imagined by Orwell. Although there is real danger, there is also much AI can do to foster critical thinking and even to help spot and counter the use of AI to manipulate people in harmful ways. Unfortunately, we could be doing so much more in this regard today. We are overly reliant on giant corporations to protect us from these risks. I'm looking forward to what you all have to say about this topic, but in anticipation of your questions, there is one more topic I need to address. Will AI be a job killer? Unquestionably, the answer to this question is yes. But the more important question is, will AI create as many jobs as are lost, and will AI hurt our economy? Those are harder questions to answer. With any important new technology, there are winners and losers. For example, when I was practicing law, I saw a drastic reduction in the number of legal secretaries as word processors came into general use in law firms. These losers were the legal secretaries. The winners were the lawyers, who increased their productivity, and the makers of word processors. As to the number of jobs gained or lost, the calculation is difficult and hard to foresee. Jobs are created not just in existing fields, like the manufacture of computers and the improvement of word processing software, but also entirely new fields are created, such as the creation and improvement of software able to understand and transcribe spoken language. Furthermore, the effect on the economy is not just a tally of the number of jobs gained and lost. The increase of productivity experienced by law firms meant that more people could access legal help, and in turn, the benefits of that spread throughout our society. All has the potential to AI has the potential to increase productivity in a number of fields, software development, for example. The companies in those fields may be more successful today. In the long term, this might increase the overall standard of living in our economy. But what about the plight of newly unemployed? This is a real problem, and yet, even here, the effects of this new invention might be felt. AI could also revolutionize our educational system. That system is the key to helping us all realize our potential and find a good match for the newly available jobs created as our economy constantly changes. And what I mean there is AI has the potential to provide individual instruction tailored to each individual. So there is actually the potential that AI could be an economic boon rather than resulting in large numbers of destitute unemployed. Only time will tell. One clue as to the effects of AI may have on unemployment and the economy can be found by examining the already advanced introduction of automation and robotics in U.S. manufacturing. A science fiction story of the 1920s helps give us some perspective. Although Isaac Asimov invented the word robotics, he did not invent the word robot. That word was invented by Czech playwright Karel Čapek for his 1920 play Rossum's Universal Robots. He derived the word from the Slavonic word robota, meaning forced laborers, such as those who suffered under the Eastern European system of serfdom. Čapek was writing at a time of Marxist and communist concern for the lot of workers laboring under inhuman conditions of the mass production factories of that era. Čapek's fear of introducing robotic automation to save such workers and how it might result in robots taking over the world is strikingly similar to the current concerns being expressed about AI. Economists are not in agreement about the effects of automation and robotics on the US economy, but the same arguments I made about productivity, etc., apply. Consider this. In the 1930s, the US unemployment rate ranged between 9 and 23%. Today, despite massive introduction of automation and robotics into U.S. manufacturing over the last 80 years, our current unemployment rate is about 3.5%. Indeed, I would suggest that in many cases that the productivity advances that came with automation and robotics have allowed U.S. manufacturing to remain competitive with manufacturing from countries with lower labor costs. Modern fears about AI may prove as unfounded as those Čapek expressed in 1920. And I have one further comment. Somebody recently told me that they are already losing business to ChatGPT. And I think it's important for people to know how risky it is to rely upon ChatGPT for accurate text. And I'll give you an example. There's a story I read recently about a lawyer who was under a deadline to get a brief into the court. And he asked ChatGPT to write his brief, and he submitted it to the judge. The judge, in reading the cases that were set forth in the brief, discovered that the key case was made up by ChatGPT. And that lawyer ended up in a lot of trouble.